Today on Real Radio.
They're not Harvard grads. A few of them came from royalty, no doubt about it. But even little David was a disregarded, out to lunch, nobody took him seriously, little shepherd boy, the most disdained occupation of the land. And God makes leaders.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a presentation that's taken from chapter 7. Chapter 7 is the fascinating account of Gideon's army and how they were reduced to just 300 men by the God of Israel. And then, of course, there was the battle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called How to Win a War.
Some of the guys went to the watering hole and they went like this. They went down and they drank like this with their lips right into the water. And God told Gideon, see those guys that have got their faces in the water? Send them home. Then there's 300 men who went down like this. They went down, probably on one knee, and it says they lapped as a dog lapped. Well, you say, wait a minute, doesn't a dog lap like you just licked the carpet here a moment ago? Isn't that how a dog laps? No, believe it or not, no. When a dog drinks, in fact, if you have a dog, go home, put water in front of it, and lay down and watch the dog drink. You'll see Bible fulfilled. Really, because when the dog drinks, the tongue cups. And as soon as the dog's tongue begins to cup, the dog will look up like I'm looking at you. I'm sure I look like a fool right now, but I'll do anything to teach you the Word of God. But listen, as the dog drinks, where's the dog's eyes? Go home and watch your dog tonight. The dog, when it drinks, his eyes will be straight ahead. Isn't that interesting? Always ready. That's a vulnerable position, and the dog knows that. So a dog will drink water looking straight ahead. God tells Gideon, pick those guys. I want the guys that lap like a dog, bring the water up in their hand, but they're looking around. Now, wait, if God doesn't need 300, and he does send all the cowards home, then why not have all the cowards be in the army? Send all the guys who were ready, send them home. I mean, if we're going to stack the deck, right? Let's send all the guys that are ready, send them home. Let's have all the losers fight in the battle so God gets absolute glory. Listen, God gets absolute glory, period. All right, the battle's overwhelming. It's massive. It's huge. But what is being said here is that God is looking for men and women who, though maybe few in number, the character of them is to be ready. They take things seriously. They're ready. Yeah, but there's only 300 of us. Listen, they didn't know that at the time, did they? It was after they lapped that they were called out. Then it was told them, you're going to war. And none of them cried, none of them panicked, because you know what? They had character and they knew something of their God. And I think also this, though it's not written, they saw a metamorphosis in the life of Gideon. The man had changed, and this is how you win a war. They're going to go to war, and this is how they're going to do it. God is going to lead the way. He is going to lead the way by how he operates, conducts, executes the war. A wicked enemy has come against Israel, and God is going to deal with them. God is going to deal with them. And this is a very exciting thing. So mark it down if you would. Point number one to our study, how to win a war. Number one is this. Make sure you're on God's side. As Americans, we heard that from the greatest president of recent time, Ronald Reagan. Somebody had spoke to him and said, we want to make sure that God's on our side. And Reagan got up and contradicted the man and said, no, that's not a good plan. Ronald Reagan stood up and said, we need to make sure that we're on God's side in all that we do. That's a great way to look at it. Never ask God to be on your side. What you do, what I do, fall on your face, ask God if you are on his side. You know, these silly bumper stickers, God's my co-pilot. Buddy, you'll never get off the ground. You'll never get off the ground. Get out of the pilot, get out of the left seat, and let God be the pilot. Maybe you can pretend that you're the co-pilot. He puts a little plastic wings on you and you can chew your, you know, your microphone or something while God flies. Let God lead. He's very good at that. He's been doing it forever. Make sure that you're on God's side. And here's the thing. Listen to what God has said. Gideon is a man now who is listening to what God says. Verse 15. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. He worshiped church. Listen, he got up and he snuck up and listened to the word that the enemy was saying at the camp. I don't know where he did this worship, but we know this. He did not worship in the camp of Israel. He first worshiped and then he returned. So what does that mean? It means that whatever he heard, he understood God is in this thing. God is the one doing this, and he worshiped. Does that mean he stayed behind the rock covertly and just began to praise the Lord? Don't know. Did he jump up and somebody pull him down because he was so excited? Don't know. But we know this, he worshiped God. And so he returned to the camp of Israel and he said to them, listen to the boldness, he said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. What a great word, what a general he has become. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's holy, awesome word. Making sure you're on God's side. Secondly, act upon what God has commanded. Hey, church, when God says something, he makes no mistakes. He doesn't contradict himself. He doesn't say something like many cults. In fact, I think it's almost every cult that I've ever studied. Their God or gods will say something on Tuesday, and then they got to change it on Friday. And then they get so upset by that, again, everything outside of Judaism and Christianity, they've got these gods of their cults that are making things up, and they've got to change it or rewrite the book. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament, which is why there's no contradiction in the Bible. But other books cannot boast such things. When God says what he says, Christian, we can act upon it against all odds. God loves the impossible. Doesn't it terrify us? Does it kind of shake us? Oh my goodness, how is this going to be? Listen, those of us who are Christians, he loves to move and he dwells in the impossible. He doesn't want us to try to explain to him why this thing won't work. He doesn't take that. Look, the Bible's full of everyone trying to make excuses of why they can't do it. Inject the God factor into it all, because when God's leading, it's going to happen. So we can act upon what the Lord has said and what God has commanded. It's a firm thing. Gideon divides the 300, it says in verse 16 and 17, into three camps. And this is amazing to me. If I were writing this, I would put that he put a machine gun in one hand, he put a rocket launcher in the other hand, and he called in air support with the other. You know, no. He gets a trumpet. Can you imagine this? I mean, what do you expect to see, like Dean Martin or somebody out there? Here, take a trumpet. Where are we going? We're going to go to battle, man. Get this trumpet. Okay, got a trumpet. Now, I know that a trumpet would be used to call people to gathering or call people to battle. I understand this, but every one of them gets a trumpet. This is weird. They get a trumpet in their hands, empty pitchers, you know, pots, clay pots, and torches. Pay close attention to this. Torches inside the pitchers. The torches are inside the pitchers. There is no evidence in the reading that the torches are lit, by the way. It just says torches. Keep that in mind as we go through this. The attack apparently is at night for a great reason. They've got a trumpet, they've got pitchers, they've got torches that are housed inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch I love that. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you do as I do. Man, this guy, he's really going for it, isn't he? This is not the Gideon we knew earlier. And the Lord is looking for leaders. Listen, the Lord is looking for leaders who are becoming like this. You guys, you can go to Christian Bible training leadership camp. And if you're not called to be a leader, it ain't going to do a bit of good. You can be a leader, you can act the part, you can do anything when it comes to running a company or whatever, and even then, it's you'll have the gift of leading, but you can learn a lot of things in the world about leading, but there's something different about God's calling when it comes to His work. And let's be honest. There are a few exceptions in the Bible, but most leaders in the Bible were made leaders by their mistakes and by God's boot camp in the wilderness. Let's be honest. They're not Harvard grads. A few of them came from royalty, no doubt about it. But even little David was a disregarded, out to lunch, nobody took him seriously, little shepherd boy, the most disdained occupation of the land. And God makes leaders. Look how God molded and shaped Moses. He shaped him. Moses just, he wasn't born with leadership genes. God put that in him. God worked it out of him. Hardships are something that God will never leave unused. And he'll engineer them. He'll use them. Gideon's example reminds me of Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul said this. It's awesome. It's humbling. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Man, I tell you, as your pastor teacher, I wish I could say that. Just for that verse alone, Paul is going to be one of the first few guys I run up to heaven and just look at. You know, like a meteor that's fallen from the sky and it lands in the desert, you just look at it. It's foreign, it's bizarre, it's amazing. Paul followed the heart of God. He was so led by God, and Paul says to the Corinthians, imitate me, follow my life, do everything I do. Watch me, Paul said. The way I pray, how I minister, while I'm awake, watch what I do. When I'm sleeping, I'm time out. But do as I do. What an awesome thing for us to stand up tonight and say, yes to that. Lord, have Corona, Diamond Bar, Yorba Linda, Chino Hills, Chino, have them all do as I do. That's what the Christian is to say. That's what we're supposed to say. That's how we're supposed to be. Our world is so messed up. Do as I say and not as I do, people now. You can say that, but kids watch you. You can tell kids all you want, whatever you want, but they're going to do what you do. And the world should be like that looking at us. The world should look at the church and look at the Christian and say, you know what? That's the high road, man. I'm going to do as she does. I'm going to do as he does. What a great thing. Act upon what God has commanded. When God says it, you got chapter verse, do it. And take this out of your vocabulary, the yeah, but. Yeah, but. What is that? The Bible says, and Jesus said, and yeah, but. Wow. Also under this, make sure that you're on God's side. Trust the Lord for the victory. Trust Him for the victory. I'm waiting to hear about some victories. On Sunday, I was praying for two separate situations in the foyer of people who were going to go to the doctor, and one person was going to go to a job situation or waiting for the outcome. You know what? You pray, you follow the Lord, and you commit the outcome to Him. We need to trust Him. And He does that. He says to the troops, verse 18, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You guys, this is not taught in the Pentagon. This is not how you fight a war. I'm wondering, you know, maybe these guys are thinking, I hope you know what you're doing, Gideon, because we're going to get hurt if you're wrong. We sit here in the comfort of this room. Can you imagine these guys? It's nighttime dark. They're going to go attack an army without number. And it's not like they're going to shoot arrows from behind rocks. No, they're going to stand up and they're going to say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And translation, we're right here. Here we are. All 300 of us taking on you bazillion guys. I didn't say Brazilian guys. I said bazillion guys. It makes no sense that such a small number would do such a thing unless God is in it. Unless he's in it. The victory in Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. I love this psalm. We used to sing this years ago. We should sing it again. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. And I will abide under your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Isn't that a great verse? They believe that. Christian, we're to believe this. I think maybe, why do we get shy, or why do we back up? Why do we retreat instead of advancing? And I think only maybe it's because we're not sure. My friend, listen, if God told you something clearly, I'm assuming that we would do it. Imagine. So maybe when we do not step out boldly and strong to see God bring about a victory, maybe it's because we're not sure. I know for me, when I'm not sure about something, there's the lack of confidence. You can't speak on that particular thing with authority, or you can't stand, or maybe you're going to go share the Lord, you know, to somebody that's in a hostile environment. You better be ready. The amazing thing is that whenever I've been terrified the most, God shows up the biggest. And though it was an amazing moment and a wonderful thing, I walk away and God reminds me. He says, I told you to trust me, didn't I tell you to trust me? But I was scared. And he speaks to you just like he speaks to me. Don't be afraid of men. Why are you afraid of people? They can only harm your body. You should be in absolute awe of me. I have the power, God says, to not only harm your body, but to cast your soul into hell if I so choose. What are you afraid of? He told Jeremiah, you go and you speak. You're just a teenager. That's just fine. I'm with you. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. When you go, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in your mouth. I'm going to put the words that I want you to say, Jeremiah, in your mouth. It's amazing. I think the more we have Bible in us, the more it comes out of our mouth, the more I think certain we will be about confronting the enemies. Be it the enemy of whatever's going on in our life, or be it an enemy on the battlefield. I don't like to endorse movies because I never remember exactly what, you know, I can say, oh, it's a great movie, and it's a terrible, stupid movie, but I'll remember one part about it that's powerful, and I think of this, you know, Gideon, these guys are going to go to war, and I don't recommend this movie unless you're, you know, can handle it, but Saving Private Ryan is a very bloody movie, very accurate, but very bloody. And there's a scene in there that you may or may not remember if you've seen it. There's a sniper in that scene, or in that movie. He got drafted into World War II. He's a Christian. He had really keen eyes. He could shoot a tin can a mile away. And they said, you're a sniper. And if you've seen the movie, he just recites psalms in the whole. Every time you see the guy, he's reciting the Psalms of David. Give my hand skill, O God, at war. I pray for my enemy. And I mean, it's amazing. How big's your God? Gideon is going to go up a notorious enemy that for 7 years has held them in terror, and God is going to deliver them. Amazing. Secondly, under this study, how to win a war is verses 19 to 23, and it's this. Make sure you're a soldier of faith. Make sure you're a soldier of faith. I've said this very often. You'll be able to finish this statement that I make before I'm even done saying it. But when I read the Bible, I see the church as a very interesting creature. It's an organism. It's alive. It's the body of Christ. It's an interesting thing. Body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ, says the Bible. She's been given a gown. By the way, completely different than the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints are given a white robe. The book of Revelation says the Old Testament saints, they have white robes. The Bible says that the tribulation saints, those believers in Jesus who died during that seven-year tribulation period that is yet coming, they're given white robes, says the Bible. There's only one group that has totally different clothes, and leave it up to her. That's the bride of Christ. She wears fine white linen, clean and bright, says the Bible. And she's kind of cute because the church has got this gown, which I believe personally, I believe the Lord is starting to clean and get ready and press and have that gown pressed and getting ready to be donned onto the bride of Christ. I think the church is getting cleaned up. I think he's already started to clean the church. I think he's getting her ready for her big day. I see it happen in the lives of people. I see people getting closer to Jesus. I see people leaving Jesus. I see people getting more unholy, and I see people getting more holy. I think the bride is getting ready. And as she's getting ready, the Bible also says that we are like a soldier. We've got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we've got our belt on, and we've got our sword, and we've got our shield, we've got our breastplate of righteousness, we've got our helmet of salvation. We're depicted as a soldier. We're to be always strong and steadfast and like a soldier. So you see this bride of Christ. She's got her gown on. She's got a veil but a helmet. She's got a bouquet in one hand. The shield of faith is on the other side of the bouquet. She's got the sword in the other hand. She's got this dress on, but she's got these gnarly Roman cleats on, ready for war. She's an amazing thing, the church. And you're seeing a rise, by the way, in around the world that people are mocking the church, making fun of. Now look, I'm not talking about the stupid things the church has done to deserve mocking. I'm talking about the real spiritual church that belongs to the Lord. There are so-called Christian leaders making fun of the church, mocking the church. Listen, Jesus loves the church. You got to remember, I wouldn't talk bad about her. That's Jesus' girl. And he's going to come someday and pick her up according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He loves the church. And let me say this, for those of you who may be visiting, you have no idea, you know, well, there's the church and there's all this bad, crazy stuff going on. Listen, all the stuff that's going on, bad, crazy stuff, don't confuse that with the church, though it's flying under that banner. God knows those who are his.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How to Win a War, taken from the book of Judges, chapter 7. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a topical series called Life and the Bible. You know, many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, suggestions, tips, certainly commands on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series called Life in the Bible. And this week, for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Life and the Bible, Being a Christian in Your Relationships. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.